I surely hope that you know that you'll be there, because there's only one way to know, and that's through Jesus Christ. And knowing Him as your personal Lord and Savior, not knowing about Him, but knowing Him as your Savior. It is good to be back here in the house of God. We had a good time at the nursing home. It's good to see Brother Harry back with us. He had visited a while, and he's back with us. Good to see Brother Dwayne back with us. And talking about that, yesterday Brother Charles Nicholson called me from North Carolina. He is the pastor up there in the mountains, and he said he had some good news for us. We give him scriptures and carried, I think this last time he called me and said he had a buddy of his who had an 18-wheeler in Orlando, and it was empty. If we had any scriptures to put on it, he can come by and get it. And I said, well, come on. We gave him two pallets of scripture. Friday night, he had a local youth rally at his church, and his son was going to be one of the speakers, and his son's boss owned the Ace Hardware store, which is also the mayor of the town, wanted to come hear him preach. And so he came, the mayor came to their church, and after church they were talking, the pastor and the mayor was talking, and he said, pray for me, I'm going on a missions trip on Monday to Romania. And Brother Nicholson said, well, praise the Lord. It's good to hear that an elected official is going to do some Lord's work. He said, you got any scripture to take with you? He said, no, we've tried to find some. And he said, well, I've got six boxes of Romania that just came up here this month. So he's taking our scriptures to Romania, the mayor of North Carolina. That's how God works. And that's an amazing thing when you see the hand of God at work with what we're doing right here. So that I thought that'd be a blessing to you. On that note, I got a matter of special business I need to present to the church. Can we have a motion going to a business meeting? Brother Bill Spencer and Brother Dave Marcella. All in favor? Any opposed? None opposed. Okay. What I need to do, Brother Dwayne Chase and I, on May 8th or 9th, we're not sure exactly yet when, we need to go to West Virginia to Brother John Davis's place. He's got a print stand that he's going to give us. And so we just got to go get it. I looked into a U-Haul, and to get a U-Haul fly up there was reasonable. You get a flight for $67. They wanted a U-Haul, they wanted $1,200. So Brother Dwayne and I are going to get a trailer, and we're going to drive up and come back with that stand so that we can get some printing done. Lord willing, that is a match, and it will fix. But you can't get nothing fixed unless you try. So that's what we're going to end up doing. So I'd like a motion for the church to allow us to go ahead and go up there, get it, cover the expenses of going up and coming back. Brother Jim, Bedell, Brother Mike Nelson, all in favor? Any questions concerning that? Question, Brother Carl? It's a free gift. We just got to come get it. And he don't want us to take just the part. We could actually take the part off and bring it, but then he's stuck with something that's no good. So weighs about 2,500, 3,000 pounds. So. It is a free part he's given to us, so that's a blessing there. Does that cover up any questions? Any more questions concerning that? All right, amen. Vote. Yes, all in favor? Any opposed? None opposed? Okay, now I have a motion to close this. Brother Scott, Brother Price, second. All in favor? Amen. Any opposed to closing? Turn to Mark chapter number 9 if you're not opposed. Amen. Thank you very much. Mark chapter number 9. We're going to read in verse 14, we'll probably read down around verse 29 tonight. Mark chapter number 9, verse 14. Let's start right there. Mark chapter 9, verse 14, the Bible says, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?' And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with the teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Verse 20. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into fire and into waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus saith unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, and so much that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Last week we looked at the Mount, what is called the Mount Transfiguration. And can you imagine for a moment there is Elijah and Moses and Jesus in all of his glory. In a moment, it's nobody but Jesus there, and they're come down off the mountain. What a scene. Now you're down in the valley, you're down here, and there's a great crowd. I mean, this is a contrast here. This actually is just like life. You can have a mountaintop day, and the next day you're down in the valley. I mean, everything's going good, everything's going great. You're up there. You remember it was going so great on the mountaintop that one of them said, Hey, let's just build us three temples here. I mean, it was going good. They got down off that mountaintop, and now you got a whole crowd, and they gathered around. Verse 14, it says, And came to his disciples and saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. The disciples are gathered around. Now, of course, the scribes, if you study throughout Scripture and look at the New Testament, the scribes and Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were pretty good debaters. They were very, very good at debating. We got to be careful ourselves because sometimes we'll spend a whole lot of time debating opinions instead of letting truth stand. I've understood something here in the last, maybe 4 or 5 years of my life, that truth stands without me or with me. It doesn't need my help. I don't have to prop it up. Now, it doesn't mean everybody's going to receive truth. There's a lot of people, they look at it, they see it black and white, and they'll tell you something like this, well, that's just relative. You know, it's absolute. The problem is we've come to believe that everything is relative, but the Word of God is absolute.
Amen.
It's absolute. And so when we look at it here, they come about questioning, and they bring in these questions, and the whole thing is really kind of just a frenzy. Almost looks like pool of piranhas gathered around him, and, you know, trying to maybe confuse them and bring confusion. And God's not a God of confusion. Of course, they didn't offer once to cast out the spirit. Not one time did they say, well, you know, hey, here's somebody in some pretty bad way and a pretty bad fix, and, you know, maybe we should do something. Isn't it amazing? Every time the religious crowd attacked Jesus during his earthly ministry, it was always an attack or temptation to catch him at wrong, but they never lifted a finger to do anything about it. Now, if you would, hold your place there. Look back over in Matthew 12. And you may ask why I said they didn't offer to do anything about it. Well, the scripture here tends to lend to the fact that some of them had at some point cast out some demons. Matthew chapter 12. And verse 27. Matthew 12, 27. Now they're accusing Jesus of using the works of Beelzebub. In verse 27, this says, and Jesus answered, and he said this, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall judge, therefore they shall be your judges. As Jesus said, if I'm doing this works by the devil, then who are your children doing? How did they do this? But in this whole situation back over here in Mark, they're not worried about trying to cast out or help or trying to be a help to someone. Matter of fact, you'll notice they kind of shrink off into the darkness of the crowd. Jesus had a direct question, verse 16. And Jesus said this, and he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? No answer came from the scribes. Not one. Kind of remind me of the day whenever they brought the woman that was caught in adultery said the law said that she should be put to death. What do you say? And he knelt down, wrote, stood up, knelt down again, wrote one by one from the eldest to the youngest. They began to leave. They lost words. They didn't have nothing to say to that. And Jesus says, why are you questioning with them there? And then all of a sudden you get the answer from one of the crowd, which turns out to be the father there in verse 17. Isn't it amazing that they are there causing this here frenzy? But soon as Jesus showed up, one recognized by the crowd says there in verse 15, they were greatly amazed at the multitude, and they ran to salute Jesus, and they saw, wait a minute, well, we've lost the crowd. Be careful arguing amongst yourself, you know, especially in the open. If you got something to say to somebody, call them off to the side. Spend some time with them, just you and them. Don't be talking in the crowd, trying to get this one on my side, that one. You know, be careful with all that. That's not a good thing. Matter of fact, Abraham and Lot had that problem, didn't they? They're men. Was fighting over whales and things of that nature. And Abraham called Lot and said, listen, we be brothers. There's Philistines and Amalekites all around us. You choose what you want and I'll take over the left. So just suffer loss. That's the way you should handle it. These scribes wanted to debate, wanted to cause trouble, did not want to help. And this man said, listen, Lord, verse 17, 18, I've got a son, and he is afflicted with a problem. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, talking about the spirit, he teareth him, and he foameth, he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? Because Jesus had given them power to do so. You remember back in Mark? Flip back over to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And look at verse number 7. Mark 6 and verse 7, the Bible says there, and he called unto him the 12, and he began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff, only no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said to them, in what place soever ye enter into the house, there abide till ye depart from the place, and whatsoever and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust of the feet and testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be in the day of judgment be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent, verse 13, and they cast out what? Many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. No, nowhere have I read up to this point that the Lord rescinded this ability, this power that they had been given right then. Now all of a sudden, you have this here problem. Here is this one situation where the man brought his child and said, here, disciples, cast him out. And I believe the problem is probably found like over in John chapter number 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, and the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. I think it came to a point there remember on the mountaintop there was the three, there was Jesus in all of his glory, and Elias and Moses there, and man, they said, let's build us a temple. They were confused about the situation, and they started thinking in their own mind instead of sticking close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know here that they've been drawn apart and drawn away and been questioned. It's amazing sometimes when you don't have the answer quick, you know, real quick, like your confidence, your faith kind of just sinks down. Like, man, you don't even know what to say. There's been times that I've knocked on the door, talked to some people, and you know, try to invite them to church, try to spend time talking with them about the Lord. And here's a good example. Three Thursdays ago, we was out knocking doors down here, Brother Jim and Brother Bill and I. We were knocking doors, and we was leapfrogging one another. And I knocked on this door, and I waited. Nobody came, so I put a track on the door, and I began to walk away. And whenever I walked away, the door opened, and the guy came out. And I said, I am, and he saw that I was tracked. He said, I am not interested at all. He said, yes, sir, no problem. Sorry to bother you. About that time, his dog ran out, so I stood still. He's shouting about his dog, get your dog, my dog, my dog. He wanted his dog to come, and I stood there. But I had left that track on his door, and I was afraid to touch the track. So I thought, man, what's he going to do when he comes out the next morning? He's going to think, well, I told that crazy preacher I didn't want any of his literature, and he left it on the door, and I was scared. I didn't want to tell him I'd put one on his door. I was just shrunk, and I was just like, man, I didn't know what to do. He was yelling at the door, and that wasn't the biggest problem. He was standing there in his Speedos, and I didn't, didn't really care about that conversation at all, but, you know, it is what it is. But I really was nervous about telling him I had done put a track. Can I just have that one back? The disciples are here, and they're surrounded. They don't know what, I mean, they're just questions coming out left. I can imagine in my mind's eye all the questions, and now this guy comes forth and says, here's my son. But they had cast out many devils up to this point. And when we stand in our own confidence, in our own strength, we can do nothing. Absolutely, we can do nothing. Nothing. And they're there. They're dumbfounded. They don't even know what to say. You know, the man's there, and he's right. He brought him. But there's no help. You know, many times the Lord sends folks our way, or people come our way. Maybe a coworker. Maybe a family member. Maybe just a stranger on the side of the grocery store. And, you know, you're passing by and you're talking, and you know, they're there and they've got a problem, and you know that Jesus Christ is the answer. But something within you cannot pull it out. You cannot. They had done this very thing. Many of you have witnessed many times to other people. There's just sometimes it's like you just clam up. Abide with Jesus. Stick with Jesus. He's the answer. He's our strength. Jesus said there in John 15:5, you can do nothing without Him. Nothing. And so there was a failure there. Kind of a setback. You know, the three of them just come off the mountain and they were confused about everything. And the Lord said, keep quiet about it. Don't say nothing about it. And that's on their mind. Don't mention it till I rise from the dead. Keep this quiet. Now they're confused and thinking about that. Then they're here being questioned. They don't have a good answer. And then they probably begin to feel like a failure. Sometimes it's that way. You know, it's okay as a human not to have the answer because we're not the sum of all wisdom. Don't make up an answer. You get yourself in big trouble. I'm going to be honest, there's times people ask me something about something. I say, man, I don't have a clue. We're going to have to pray about this. We're going to have to look at this. We're going to have to study a little bit on this. See what the answer is. You don't want to cloudy up the water, muddy up the water with just some old crazy something other to make yourself look good, because our opinions are not going to help. They need the Word of God. So they were probably feeling like a failure, but that's all right. Here comes Jesus upon the scene, and I'm telling you, He's never failed at anything. Verse 19, He answered them and said, O faithless generation. Well, He included disciples there, didn't He? He didn't say, well, you know, you guys out here in the crowd. I think He looked at everybody. You're faithless generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Bring him unto here. Boy, just bring him. He rebukes them really good for the lack of faith. You know, He still does that with Scripture today personally for us. Amen. Reading and studying, preaching, you know, maybe you're hearing the Bible on tape, on audio, and all of a sudden Scripture comes along just and rebukes you. I mean, just like, boom, gets you right where it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, preacher, I don't like that feeling. Hey, I don't like it either, but I'm certainly glad that there is conviction of God on my life. I'd certainly rather have the conviction of God in my life than none. I really wouldn't. And He said, you old faithless generation, how long shall I suffer you? Verse 20. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, listen to the resistance here of this old unclean spirit. And straightway he tore him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowed and foamed. I mean, the resistance. Flip back over to Mark. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 7. Here's another instance of the way these unclean spirits resist. Mark chapter 5 and verse 7. It says here, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? This unclean spirit knew exactly who he was, but listen to what he did. Listen to what he says is, thou Son of the Most High God. I mean, he knows exactly who Jesus is. But listen, he invokes God on this. The unclean spirit says, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Isn't it amazing that an unclean spirit would invoke God? They resist. I mean, they resist. That's why we have to be very careful with our life and what we let into our eyes and our ears, into our heart, because these unclean spirits of oppression, of you know, television shows and music and reading materials and all this here, boy, it resists. It doesn't want to give up. The flesh is strong, dear friend. I mean, it is strong. You don't believe me? You find something in your life that you have done for 10, 15, 20 years, and you've just done it out of just, you just thought it was okay. But let the Spirit of God convict you, and let the Word of God convict you, and see how hard your flesh fights to give up that thing. Amen. It resists. It does resist. You find it here. These unclean spirits did not want to let go. But they stand no power in Jesus. You remember the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts? Seven sons of Sceva showed up there, and they were going to whoop the devil. And the devil whooped them. Matter of fact, he had them scooting all around the place. And he said, "Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who in the world are you?" You've got to be careful. I mean, be careful. We've got to stand in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus was found, he was found faithful here. And he was successful at what he was doing. And he had been in this hopeless situation. And this child had been here. I mean, it says from a child. Jesus was amazed. Kind of said, how long has this been placed? You know, he knew already because he's God. But it was a long time. And then the man goes on and says, "And oft times hath cast him into fire," verse 22, "and into the waters to destroy him." And listen to this. "But if thou canst do anything," if you can do anything, verse 22, "have compassion on us and help us." It was, listen, there was, the boy was the one was the one being gnashed and torn. But let me tell you something, dear friend. Your ways and your wiles and your treachery and your lifestyle that goes against the Word of God, it harms others. It harms others. No man lives himself and no man dies to himself. You think about the prodigal son. You think that didn't cause a rift in the whole family? If you know, just understand the situation. He was saying to his dad, "Dad, listen, I'd rather you be dead right now. Give me what's mine. Give it to me now." There's another boy. You know he was bitter because of the latter end of the story. "Dad, I've been with you all this time." You think while the dad waited and returned on the return of his son that there was never a conversation between the older son and him? "Dad, get up off the porch. He's not coming back and he's not worth your wait." It caused problems. That riotous living, that wasting of a life, it caused problems. It causes problems in our homes. Even today, in some of our homes today, you could probably think back of the last month or month and a half where a husband and wife had problems because of trying to appease a child. And you took sides against the spouse with the child. Be careful. Be very careful. This here spirit resisted. But the man, he put himself in there. He said, "Lord, help us. Lord, have compassion on us." Listen, your road of sin hurts others. And he said, "Lord, help us." A plea of compassion. It kind of reminds me of Lamentation. Lamentation 3. Verse 22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because of His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Lord, have compassion on us. Lord, please help us. He identified with his son. You might have children that are not right with God, but love them. Don't ever shame them. Identify with the problem and ask for compassion and help. I mean, I stand here in this pulpit and you know where I'm at. But I love my kids. I don't condone not one thing that they do outside of Scripture. But I always invite them to my house. They're always welcome at my table. They're always welcome around around my wife and I. And we'll spend time. We'll go out of our way to spend time with them. And I have this here prayer right here. Lord, have compassion on us. Lord, help us.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you, the easy thing to do, wash your hands up and keep, be done with it. But that's not the godly thing to do.
No.
Not at all. Not at all. And he said, Lord, I stand in need as much. You know, it's kind of like this. We need to be careful as we pray. Sometimes we pray, Lord, help the city of Orlando. Help the town, the city of Kissimmee. No, Lord, help our city. Because anything that happens in our city affects us. Lord, you know, Lord, the United States of America, it's Lord, our country has fallen into sin. Inflict, identify with it, because we are part of the problem sometimes. He said, Lord, help us. Lord, I don't know what to do. Have compassion. He says, but if you could do anything. He didn't say, Lord, make him straight. Make him not be dumb with the spirit. Lord, just have compassion and help us. In verse 22, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Verse 24, and straightway the father of the child, what did he do? Cried out. Let me tell you something, dads. I believe it's more important for you and I to take our kids to the throne of heaven than our wives. I do. I believe with all my heart. Listen, wives and moms, it's your responsibility too. But the Bible talks about turning the hearts of the fathers, the children, to the Father. With tears. Look what it says. With tears. He cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. A tearful confession. You understand? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. This man understood something. I believe, but this is beyond me. Do you understand? There are some things in our lives that are beyond our ability. And that's why we get down to that last verse, and Jesus says, this kind goeth out not but by prayer and fasting. It's beyond our ability. It's beyond what we can do. I don't understand really all the reasonings behind the failure of the disciples, other than they got overwhelmed. We've covered scripture that they had cast out many devils. But this one, there was something about it. Maybe Romans 4:20 would help us a little better. Romans 4:20. Maybe help us to understand a little bit better about it. The Bible says here, Romans 4:20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Maybe, perhaps, something went on here. They said, well, we can handle this. We don't need God. But some reason or other, they failed. But when Jesus got on the scene, the Bible says he cast him out. And it was a horrible scene, it looks like, because the Bible says that many said he's dead. He's dead. I believe with all my heart there's many times in my life that I have not enjoyed the blessings of God simply because of my own unbelief. Just simply because of my own unbelief. I get to the point and say, Lord, I do believe. But this area of unbelief, it's yours too. Take it. Because I need answers. I need answers. And I believe whenever we turn it all over to God, we surrender it all over to God, God gets all the glory.
Amen.
Gets all the glory. Our faith in Christ brings glory to God, dear friend. Aren't you glad that in this passage of Scripture we studied, as we looked at it, and the disciples were standing there, empty-handed, not capable of handling the situation, the Lord didn't just turn away and say, "I don't even need you guys." But He stepped right in there. He rebuked them, and He answered the prayer despite of them. In spite of them. I'm just thankful that sometimes God works on my behalf in spite of my unbelief. But He does want us to have faith, because it says in Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Perhaps there's something on your heart tonight you need to say, "Lord, I have battled this. I can't do it. I need help. And I need you to work in and through this situation so that you get the glory." What page, brother?
65.